Y'all ready to go to work? Had to find out where I stopped all last time, huh? I'll get this apostolic strategy out to you. Get you ready for the time and the environment and the culture. But I'm going to go over a few things tonight. We're joined by three campuses in Columbus Christian Center in Columbus, Ohio. There are students there. Glory Life Center in Orlando, Florida. There are students there. And then there's Life Music Christian Fellowship in Baltimore. Dr. Moore and Dr. Lloyd and Dr. David. Their classes actually join in with us. We're going to see to that more of these boys get classes because we can get the whole move of, I don't know, 70-something churches we're over there. We'll be on the same page for they need to be intact what we're doing.
Yes, sir.
And those boys like Dr. Phil and Dr. Ron and these boys here, they're local, they come themselves, and Phil got a lot of students here in here on campus because he's close enough. But I'll talk to LTMA, they need to, if we're going to be one on call, they're going to be left behind, I'm going to tell you right now, because I'm learning as I go about the apostolic. You may be seated, because I want you to know, apostolic, we're not talking about a denomination. We're talking about doctrine.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about demonstrations and manifestations, how they came about in the early church when they were in alignment with the Spirit in a certain way.
Yes, sir.
I think there have been such of a drifting from the original plan of God. A lot of people got involved. We're not here to talk about people, but we want to get back in alignment with God's original ways of functioning in the body of Christ and mainly with the word of God, rightly divided. Mm-hmm. Well, that's 1 Timothy 2:15, I think.
Yes, sir.
30 assurance shall approve a workman that not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then a proper anointing. Is so important. And apostolically, there's an anointing. That's an apostolic anointing that the early church started out with that never left the church. The church left it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we began to talk about, I need to go back over this and emphasize and dig and wait on the Spirit, the challenge to the front line. Okay, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be on the front line in functioning in this type of anointing.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And number one thing I told you, and I'll review these things, you're going to have to be leaders who see the future.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leaders who see the future. And you cannot, I'll say this, as a minister and as a student, you cannot lead from behind.
Right. Yes.
You got to be in on the know. If you're going to be a leader, you got to be able to lead from the front. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Now, it says something about, and I'm going to share something with you off the script, because I do a vast amount of studying all the time in different facets, apostolically, to learn how to be current with the flow of God, but yet pull it from the original plan of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so I read a book, I'll tell you what the book is, The Coats of Heaven. And it gave, because it got down here, they need to be marching in the front line of the battlefield, these new leaders, mm-hmm. providing a strength, number one, of leadership that is dependable and fearless.
Wow.
As we press into uncharted water of destiny. I said this to say this about the coats of heaven. I'll give you this secret. There's a way to come off the battlefield.
Yes, sir. Right.
And then Hebrews 12:21-24, it gives you a coat of heaven where you can get a verdict, I might have told you this, a decision and a judgment. And a lot of people are still on the battlefield, but you don't have to be on the battlefield because you got Coach Wright and you got a good lawyer.
Right.
He never lost a case. But you got to know how to bring it to that coach of heaven, and people out there praying on the battlefield, quoting scriptures. But the court of heaven, you can get a verdict. And I think in the 18th chapter of Luke, you got a story of the lady who got a verdict. She never talked to her adversary. She just kept talking to the judge, all right? You'll find God the judge there, Jesus the mediator of a better covenant, and et cetera. But providing strength, leadership that is dependable and fearless. Now, these two things I'm going to say in this statement. Leadership today must have prophetic perception. What I say? And I want you to catch prophetic perception. Other words, insight. That is in a different realm. Insight in the realm of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit tell you things that you can't naturally know.
Right. Yes,
prophetic perception, prophetic insight. And then the second thing he says, now these two don't like to go together, but watch what he says. Leadership today must have prophetic perception of the future and have an ability to clearly interpret the past move of God.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
yeah. So I see this class, in order to be effective, you got to be able to go forward and backward.
Yes, sir.
You got to be able to comprehend what caused thing to happen in the past move of God, because they're not dead, but yet be able to see things that are coming forward in front of you.
Yes, sir.
Prophetic and past, those two words. Prophetic mean future, past mean looking back.
Yes, sir.
Because there are some original things with God that will never change.
Yes.
I don't care how sophisticated, I don't care how wise it seems. You know, I just got put an Apple Watch on, one that you can leave your phone at home and it connect with, just like you got your phone with you. I was talking to a young man, he didn't know it had one out like that. And, but you know, I don't wear it now. I got a Rolex on. Now I wear it doing it. It might mess with my anointing. But it's modernized, you know what I mean? It's equipped to, you push a button, you see your favorite, hit a button, you can talk to it, it'll call who you tell to call. Same way your regular phone. That's modernization.
Yes.
But yet at the same token, that it does not compare with what the Holy Spirit have laid for groundwork for us to work with in the realm of the Spirit. It's still in the realm of the natural.
Yes, sir.
Now, also, God has called us to allegiance only to the restored truth. And not, now let's get this clear, not forms, styles, practices, methods, and personal preferences. I like that, man. You see, we've got a whole lot there in the church. Let me give it to you here. God have called us to allegiance only to restore truth, not to forms. See, forms ain't gonna work. Styles. Matter of fact, the men I read about, most of them never had no style. They were just powerful. Practices, method, and personal preference. Because Jesus didn't have no problem. Jesus kept doing stuff off the wall and out of shape, you know, Jesus. Because he did exactly what the Father told him to do. You're getting a set pattern, you would not have a strong anointing. Here's he said another way now. We're talking about apostolic strategy. And I wanted to get that to you. We're not talking about, because I talked to the church, Word of Life, a lot about the apostolic church, but we're not starting a denomination.
Right.
It's a doctrine that we must return to, because it's God's divine plan throughout the history of the church, the apostle, the prophet, pastor, teacher, and the evangelist. That's his plan,
yes,
to train the people to be priests. I got to get on that too. And I said, I think I said, I got to tag you while I stop. We can maintain continuity to what God had been doing in the past only. To what God had been doing in the past. He did great and mighty things. Only if we walk and live with the prophetic perception and insight which God has given us in our generation. So it's a generation God given insight in this generation. But you got to have prophetic perception to be able to keep a continuity with what the Holy Ghost is doing at this moment. I don't believe you'll find, go back to Genesis, you go back to Leviticus. I don't believe you're going to find money comes in there. Right. I got one scripture that says that money that cometh over there in King, I think chapter 12. God called me, was so excited about it about 15 years ago. And I went on preach 13 years, never said it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not where I got it from. Now, this may seem foggy to some because we're so modernized, but we need to embrace the best of the past and allow its relevance to be seen in the present.
Yes.
There's a lot of anointing there, a lot of things God has showed us through men and women of God in the past. And then it talks about class, and this is one of the things that we need to receive apostolic blueprint. Well, you got Acts 2, you got Acts 5, you got, they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They had everything in common. The apostle ministered by great power and great grace. Those things were their blueprint. So it says we need to receive apostolic blueprints. Watch this now, apostolic blueprint and the heavenly pattern for change in these perilous times. Apostolic blueprint and heavenly pattern. Yeah, for change in these, and notice what he said, perilous time. Perilous, dangerous, a dangerous time. And you can't be functioning in the natural. You gotta be like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 or 1 Corinthians 2, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can't lose that. You know, yeah. And then we read this glorious scripture here in 1 Chronicles. I would like for you to turn to it. If you got a Bible, you should have a Bible with you. There in 12:32, 1 Chronicles 12:32. I think it's the outstanding verse for preparation for ministry or being able to handle things as you should. They was calling out different tribes, different warriors with different capabilities. And it gets to these boys here in verse 32, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had what?
Understanding.
Of the what? Now write that down. Understanding of the time is of uttermost importance because these are perilous times. These are dangerous times. These are deceptive time, these are damnable time, these are destructive time. Destruction look like production in these times. You got that? Destruction look like production. In other words, people being destroyed in disguise and they think they're progressing, but they're being destroyed. And so we're going to have that understanding. I like that they have understanding of the time. Oh, that's powerful. The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the time. Now look at the next statement. Look at the next statement. Look at the next statement. What the next statement says? No, put yourself in there now. Don't just the Issachar. Don't put yourself in there. You need to ask the Lord, give me understanding of the time so I'll know what to do. See, there's a way not to be, never be left behind.
Yes, sir.
I've seen a lot of suffering in ministry over the years. It wasn't me. Don't look at me. I better get that straight. It sounded like I was talking about myself. No. No, I watched the suffering. Yeah, because it take a certain understanding. And the same thing happened with Daniel. When in the book of Daniel, when nobody, all the magicians, nobody knew what to do. Daniel got them three boys and prayed about it, and God told him exactly what was going on. Secondly, prepare the church for the future. Now, when I say the church, you got to be prepared. So he says, today leadership, us, must read the time like the sons of Issachar and apply the heavenly pattern without compromise. I don't know if I told you this before, but I won't go over it. It's so good.
Yes, sir.
See, two things. You have to have the understanding. Then you have to apply the heavenly pattern without compromise. There are those who are going to challenge you. I could assure you that standing here as a pastor, a congregation will challenge you. People will leave if you change.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They want the same thing.
Yes, sir.
But there's a word called growth. Yes. Another word called development. Developing is important in the spirit realm to keep growing.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the spirit realm is so extensive, you're not going to ever reach its peak.
No, sir.
So you must keep growing.
Yes, right.
But don't compromise.
Yes,
without compromise. Adopting strategies, methods, styles, and paradigm of thought pattern. An attitude that will prepare the church for the future. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I mean, you might not see it. But I see it. Because I'm involved in this thing enough to see this. Watch. And you know, I told you the thing that we're talking about the church. Many times we're talking about your personal life.
Yes.
See, a blueprint for your personal life.
Uh-huh. Yes,
revelation is a blueprint.
Yes, sir.
Revelation, insight. Prophetic perception.
Yes,
it deals with what you're dealing with. This church, we're in church now.
Yes,
and as I minister, I'm ministering from the platform of what I'm teaching you.
Yes,
and so it should not have effect on your life just as a minister. The personal things you're dealing with now,
right.
These revelation, these concepts, these strategies, these blueprint. This apostolic anointing, impartation, equipping should be helping you day by day. Not just to say I went to the school, but there are insight that is applicable to your situation.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 So now let me see what I'm saying here. The church today, listen, see, is struggling to cope with the present overwhelming need of our society.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that is they got so many strategies and so many things came up. Next year we're gonna tell it all, but they don't have the right source.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
A revelation, source of finances. They just don't have enough of God. They're trying to strategize. I remember God judged me, man, because I'm a student. I've been a student now, I'm proud of being a student. I've been a student all my life.
Yes,
but I was studying behind a certain man one time some years back, and the Lord said, don't you know that's worldly strategies? Shut the book. Oh, yeah. I had to get out there quick, boy. Yeah, I'm about to get in trouble, man. I'm about to get in trouble many times. See, when you're pursuing something, you go after it, you know.
Yeah.
I almost got in trouble with grades. The boy teaching that crazy grades. No, you want to see grace is Titus 2:11-12.
Right, yes,
you see grace. You want to see grace. You want to see grace at work.
Yes,
grace ain't about going, you know, doing something and expect God just covered.
Yeah.
Grace keep you out of trouble.
Yes,
now listen, class, I want you to hear this. The humanistic philosophies of ministry which have invaded the church have kept us in the rut of deception thus forcing us to lament, L-A-M-E-N-T, lament, on our past failure and inadequacy. Wow. Now, there are some ministries you don't want to talk to. They cry, and they say they don't know why. They say because they're greatly anointed, they're going through that. No, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's that human philosophy. See, they're drinking coffee. Some churches are drinking beer. Why are they preaching? I mean, it's social. And it's full of activity. I mean, they're going to activity almost every day. A lot of colors and different stuff and programs and strategies. But it's the natural trying to get people. But they couldn't pray themselves out of a wet paper bag with a hole in it. Because it's just neutralizing the strength of God. If you're going to operate in the strength of God, it's a formulaing thing sometimes. It's some of your inadequacies stick his head out the hole and say, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
Insufficiencies. Mm-hmm. See, you don't, if you want, you got to be right and marching all the time. Even when I come here before you, I don't have to be strict strata and all that. I just say what the Lord spit, slob, do whatever the Lord want me to do. I don't have to prove nothing to you. And see that humanistic philosophy of the ministry, which have invaded the church, have kept us in the rut of deception, thus forcing us to alarm it on our past failure and inadequacy. See, there's no lamentation in me. I walk in the yard some minute there. I said, I just, God, you know, certain stages, you get to certain stages, but I never cried out. I never used the word, I'm not going to make it. You know, oh my, no. How you going to say that? You know God. But it's different stages for growth. You see what I'm saying? You at your stage where you are now for a reason. There's a lesson to learn, then you can go to the next stage.
That's right.
Amen? Then the next thing, our job is keeping the church focus on purpose. I believe that's the priesthood of the believer. I believe that ministers, most ministers, we got pastors here, fishing out our own pond every Sunday morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you talk about giving the invitation, half of you didn't preach, and you know, nobody done come to the altar, there ain't nobody there to come. Because the priesthood of the believer have been put in the pulpit, the bishop do everything, and I asked a question Sunday. And I explained my question so there won't be the wrong answer. Yeah. I said, when you pray, it's not for God. Yeah. When you meditate, the word is not for God. Even when you pray, it's more for you than for God and worship. So I asked him, what have you done for God this week?
Yeah.
I didn't get no answer.
Yeah.
Wow. Some had guests that brought guests with them. But the main thing is, you're going to have the witness.
Yes. That's right.
You got to stop worrying about this poor piece here.
Right.
When you gonna get in this pulpit?
Yeah, good. That's right.
Come on up. This pulpit here came through many pulpits.
Yes, sir.
I mean all kind: rest home, prison, anywhere a roach moving. I would preach. I'd preach to roaches and dog, anything, man. I just wanted to get the word out. I wasn't looking for no pulpit. The Lord gave me my church, the church. I wasn't even looking for the church. I was going to a funeral. They sent me as a representative to a funeral. Ladies heard me speak. And asked me, would I come Sunday? I said, no, y'all not the pastor of this church.
Yeah.
I can't come because y'all asked me. And then the pastor got a hold of me and I went. Then when I got there, he stood up and said, first time seeing me. He said, now, if y'all take this young man, I resign today.
Wow.
I said, oh, Lord, I'm in church. Now I got to go talk to my pastor. I don't know about no pastor. I've been a sister. I had to go talk to my pastor. He said, boy, go ahead. And so that's the way it happened. But for this, that's in John, 1 John 3:18, I don't know. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Keeping the church focused on purpose. The drastic changes that are taking place in our environment and society are forcing the church to compromise on its original calling and purpose. They're compromised. Because we have little settings, you know, just everybody happy, and somebody got a problem. They need to hear a revelation. We just can't be jumping around here and feeling good all the time. Now, I need an answer from God. I need something to cut me.
Yes.
It's sort of spirit, isn't it?
Yes.
It cuts you, don't it?
Yes.
Yeah, you need to be cut sometime. I need to, many months, I need to be cut, man. I need to cut. I don't know what God wants, you know what I'm saying? But you got this side there forcing the church to compromise on his original calling point. But the church leadership today must be in touch with today's changing society so as to keep abreast with the development in the world we are aiming to reach. All right, here's another one. We must understand global changes so that we can provide a dynamic leadership to break into a new horizon in world evangelism.
Yeah.
And I think I was preaching in North Carolina. Yeah. And the Lord says some of this stuff going to go viral. Some of the stuff I was teaching. You know, you say, y'all talking about this go viral?
Yeah.
Said some of the teaching. So we're about to hit some areas here that people are going to grab on to.
Yes,
all right. So we must understand global changes so that we can provide a dynamic leadership to break into a new horizon in world evangelism. I think we're coming into that revelation about the priesthood of the believer that I will get real strong on it, and I'll send this church out. I'll send LTMA churches out. Our pastors that follow me and they got congregation, they're going to send all their members out. And it's not a Jehovah Witness thing. What it is as you go to the supermarket, wherever you go, God going to say something to them.
Right.
My son-in-law called crying. He's getting one of my cars detailed, and I have him to stay with my car because it cost him $1,200 to get each one of them. He's putting coats on it where a rock hit it. It won't scratch it. And so he got to stay. We went to one young man. He said he could stay. He said, no, there's a 5-year guarantee, but he came up with the two-year stuff putting on my car. My son-in-law said, what that? That's 2 years. And so then they said for insurance purposes, they didn't want him to be in there. I said, no, I'll take care of the insurance. You want me to insure him? I'll call my agent while he's there. I'll insure him.
Yeah.
And they said, no, they didn't want him to be there to see what's going on. I said, finish what you were doing. Let my car out of that. So I'm going to say 3 or 4 things here. The new emerging leadership, I'm talking about you, must be clearly prophetic in foresight and revelation while being apostolic in wisdom, authority, and strategy. That's a mouthful. I said that's a mouthful. Let me go back over, but that's a mouthful. I want you to catch those words. The new emerging leadership must be clearly prophetic. In other words, able to see in the future. And I'll say it as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and not let the future impress you and take you over and think that it's better than the anointed. Never get impressed or overwhelmed by a crowd.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because he talked about, Jesus talked about two, you know.
Wow.
He said many will go down the Broadway, go to the wide gate. But he said that's a narrow way.
Yes, sir.
Then I always judge myself with getting an army. You know, he started out with a lot of people. The Lord says too many of them, they're just running around there. Better run. Let me give you some real people. I got some real people with a lot. I can't hear y'all.
Yeah.
I got some of my members here. I better holler when I talk like that. Have me bragging on y'all. This new emerging leadership must be clearly prophetic in foresight and revelation while being apostolic in what? Wisdom, authority, and strategy. And these things are prepare you for to be the future leaders of tomorrow. All right. We're standing at the threshold of a new era and period that will produce its own distinctive generation. We've got to be ready for this. All right, now. Let me go back, class, because I want you to see what I'm doing. Let me go back. I'm going to repeat it because this statement I'm about to make now is a great one. So we're leaders who see the future, we say it, right? And then we dealt with number two. What number two was? Did you get a number two? You didn't get a number two. Pat a church for the future. That's right. Number three. What number three is?
Keeping the church.
You don't want to take note? That's the third thing. Keeping the church focused on purpose. Oh yeah, I said it. Don't be bad. I said it. Now I'm at number four. Wisdom to consolidate and become accurate. Wisdom to consolidate and to become accurate. We need apostolic wisdom. What I said we need? To consolidate what is happening today and restructure ministries and churches until they become relevant to the time we're in.
Yes.
Yes, sir. And he said it again?
Yes, sir.
That's number four. I hope you get a note this time. Wisdom to consolidate and become accurate. And to do that, we need apostolic wisdom to consolidate what is happening today and restructure ministries and churches until they become relevant to the time we're in. Now, relevant to the time we're in, but it doesn't mean go with everything going on. Because you can't do that with apostolic wisdom. We talk so two words, apostolic wisdom, apostolic strategy, apostolic grace. Now we're talking about God's original plan and his original setting. We're not talking about a denomination.
Yes, sir.
You know. You don't have to go into a new denomination. We didn't have enough denominations.
Yes,
we must find apostolic strategies. And I'm gonna say something else now, class. And I usually will not. And employ God's divine principle. And employ God's divine principle. And employ God's divine principle to reach a dying world without Christ. All right, this didn't need to be read over. It's two. Well, number one, I said we need apostolic wisdom to consolidate what is happening today. And restructure ministries and churches until they become relevant to the time we're in. Relevant, when I say relevant to the time we're in, that don't mean you come teach with a band long shirt on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tell me you're trying to get down there with the people. See? No, the news media won't change their garment.
Yeah.
Their profession.
Yes.
And they got all bad news. You got good news, you ought to have something on.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. See, these preachers, they won't wear anything. I tell my boys, see how my boys dress? Then, man, we ain't gonna do this.
Yes,
I tried it.
Yes, sir.
You know, my dad, Brother Hagin, was a master at it. He wore his garment. He's a professional man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So we find apostolic strategies and employ God's divine principle to reach a dying world without Christ. Again, he says, the church leadership today must seek God for apostolic strategy that will help us keep, biblical principle. Help us keep what?
Biblical principle.
Wow. In other words, intact while we change the society around us. Let me read it again. The church leadership today must seek for apostolic strategies that will help us keep biblical principle. That will help us to keep biblical principles intact while we change the society around us. So we talked about apostolic strategy, apostolic wisdom, apostolic grace, and there's a heaven to earth connection we're talking about when they define the apostolic, and the portals of heaven open to you. You have access to divine and supernatural wisdom and strategy from God. I'm going to touch on this a few minutes. What time that clock had? How long I been teaching?
35 minutes.
Okay, and okay. What did you have it set for all the way?
About 1 hour and 15 minutes.
All right, got it. I know when the 15 minutes get closer, I'm shutting down.
In talking about all these different things now, class, we're going to look at types of anointing. You know, Jesus' ministry was based on Luke 4:18, Acts 10:38. He was anointed.
Yes, sir.
And that's the enabling power of the Holy Ghost. The enabling power of the Holy Ghost. It's so important that we be anointed. And you know, we've got 1 John 2:20. I have an auction from the Holy One. 1 John 2:27. The anointing teaches me all things. We got Psalm 92:10 talking about being anointed with fresh oil.
Yes, sir.
So the anointing is so important, not just the teaching, but the anointing is so important that the teaching without the anointing is like cooking without season.
Yes. Yes.
The food has great potential, but it needs some help.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way the Lord designed it. So I've seen people with a lot of letters, but they had no anointing. And no anointing. Anointing don't mean they're to be hollering and screaming. I mean anointing right here now. You know, the Spirit of God is helping me in my insufficiency. So Samuel's type of leadership anointing. And then it says the revivalist anointing of Samuel. And tell us four things that we're going to be studying here. And I'm studying out an apostolic strategy. First of all, it is a threefold anointing. We'll get into it. Secondly, it can be imparted to individuals. Thirdly, it can be placed upon groups. And fourthly, it is a mantle that covers a geographical area. Now, you know, for a long time, the church didn't know what a revival was, you know. They're trying to get somebody to say. No, revival means that somebody had died in the church. In doctrine and revelation, you need to get them restored and built back up that they come back alive.
Yes.
So understanding the revivalists, it says that in the book of Acts, through certain apostles, were the greatest product of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Through certain apostles.
Mm-hmm.
A great outpouring. An outpouring.
Yes, sir.
Of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, we need that.
Yes, sir.
You know, we need that. We really don't need no more orators.
No, sir.
We need somebody who can yield to the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
huh?
Yes, sir.
And if you ever taste it real good, you'll never go back again.
Yes, sir.
See. So he said the greatest product of this end time revival is going to be the manifestation of the apostolic men, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith.
Yes, sir.
And I told you now, the trouble is going to come so bad with this humanistic church that people are going to be flocking to try to find the truth and find the power.
Wow.
Just telling me I can't have your seat.
Yeah.
I've been here for years. Don't come here and tell me, no, you don't post that chair. That's my seat. Get up. Because they'll come in and take over.
Yes, sir.
In class, there is no revival without a revivalist.
Good.
God always looking for somebody to you.
Yes, sir.
Why not you?
Why not you?
It's so much. It's so much. It's so much. No revival can gather on ongoing momentum without the ministry of a revivalist. See, now we're talking about anointing now. We're talking about somebody anointed enough and walking close enough to God to start a move of God and the dry bones in Ezekiel. See? See, they once was a mighty army, but they had died out. So Ezekiel prophesied to them the word and the wind. They came back alive. That's, I guess that's a good explanation of a revival there. Yeah. No care is too bad. Now, this is sort of a strong statement. People who don't understand the Holy Ghost and commission given by God or have never seen demonstration of the Spirit of power, of the Holy Ghost in power, may beg a different with this statement. A revivalist is not just carried by revival wave, but he creates revival wave everywhere he go. If you don't see yourself moving in the Holy Ghost to help people, and you got to have some kind of wave. No, you make the wave.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, why? Here's how. He carried with him an apostolic anointing that gives him the, watch now, mandate to organize, consolidate, and establish the believer in what God is prophetically fulfilling today. Let me read that to you again. The reason he can start this thing, he carried with him an apostolic anointing that give him the mandate to organize, consolidate, and establish the believer in what God is prophetically fulfilling today. Now, all these pastors that are under me, they should be an apostolic pastor.
Yes, sir.
And they should have their church going in under apostolic doctrine, because they're hearing this and they're supposed to apply this.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Churches who don't have it not going to make it. I mean, you can't make it not calling the roll, baby.
Yes, sir.
Present.
Present. Yes, sir.
What Acts 3:34? Turn to Acts 3. Is there such a scripture? I'm falling by notes. Hallelujah. There ain't no such scripture. That's it. One I'll question it. Let me see. Acts 3:24, right? I say it? Yeah, that's it. That's the scripture. All right. Yeah, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. We in these days right now. And the prophetic anointing was brought into, well, watch this, clan, about these days, and the prophetic anointing was brought into a new level of function and maturing in and through the life of Samuel. I think it was quiet for a while there, but then Samuel got a hold of it. What the author is trying to tell us now is that we're in an age we need that Samuel anointing. We know that Moses touched a greater measure of the prophetic anointing. Moses was the great leader, you know. Mm-hmm. Remember, God took his spirit and placed it upon 70 other men.
Yes, sir.
And after that, the 70 men prophesied and took a greater measure of leadership. So Moses can be freed up, you see. Here, the structure base of Moses' leadership was expanded through this phenomenon. In other words, when you, just like LTMA, just like these boys travel with me. Not only the 12, these boys here travel with me too. They go anywhere I go.
Yes, sir.
And so I know I have backup all the time.
Yes, sir.
But it expanded my ministry. Pastor follow you, something going on.
Yes, sir.
Pastor ain't just follow anybody. He ain't got time.
Exactly.
So when Moses' anointing went over those 70 men, it says it stretched his ministry out. God always put people around you.
Yes, sir.
Then it says later on, God took some of Moses' spirit and placed it on Joshua.
Yes,
when the time comes, Joshua was ready.
Yes, sir.
You know what it says in this book? Who became a capable replacement of Moses.
Yes,
but you know what the Lord said to Joshua? As I was with Moses, I want to remind you, right, what Moses taught you is what I want to keep going.
Right.
Would you come here with no new stuff?
That's right.
And drop this assignment to my, Moses dead now. Yeah. This is my ministry. He moved on, Jairus, to lead the people in a new dimension of victory and apostolic power. Now, there was no one else whom God used to bring men into the prophetic dimension, add them to the structure base of corporate level leadership over Israel. This was not possible until the time of Samuel. So Samuel ministry,
yes, sir.
First and Second Samuel,
yes,
marked the beginning of a new era of prophetic release and corporate leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Prophetic release and corporate leadership.
Yes, sir.
Corporate leadership means there are many joined to the commission,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And act as if it was there.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
I always tell the ministry, help anybody around me, you do what God is doing for me.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
You helping me do what God told me to do? And God ain't gonna do nothing for you.
No.
That don't work like that. It don't work like that. So you got to expect.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm doing this.
Yes,
I'm special.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all only.
Yes,
you got to understand what I'm saying. And I'm expecting God. All right, let's look at the revivalist anointing of Samuel. I said it was a threefold anointing.
Yes,
all right, number one, Samuel was a prophet, priest, and king. Say king, it was judge, he was a judge. Now the second statement is, he possessed these three anointings, listen class, and successfully communicated them to others through life impartation. Whatever person carrying, they can impart it.
Yes, sir.
So if they're carrying nothing, look at that. Now, make sure you got the, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yes, sir.
As a prophet, God's divine oracles were continued given to Israel through Samuel, unlike the day of Eli. Now, turn to 1 Samuel 3. Look at two verses. 1 Samuel 3. Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah. This is a Savior. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. And Samuel grew,
mm-hmm,
and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall, fall to the ground. You see that?
Yes,
how would it be? The Lord let none of your words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. The word Shiloh means it belonged to me.
Wow.
Yeah, in Greek, Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I guess he was telling Samuel, everything belonged to you. Go ahead and do what I tell you to do. As a priest, he ministered in the house of the Lord at Shiloh and continued to offer sacrifice on behalf of God's people. As judge, he ruled in both the natural and the spiritual realm. I got four or five things to tell you under that. As a judge, he ruled in both the natural and the spiritual realm. He kept the people under God's rule and spiritual subjection. He had to come up against somebody. He stood his ground.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not only did he kept the enemies of Israel away from the borders of Israel.
Yes,
he kept the people and kept the enemies.
Yes, sir.
If you're in a good church and the pastor ministering, both can be happening.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Look at 1 Samuel 7, if you will. We're studying the anointing now. 13. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more in the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistine all the days of Samuel.
Wow.
So they decided, we're not going back there no more.
Yeah.
He brought tremendous restoration to Israel. The people returned, listen, to serve the Lord during his rulership. I mean, if people see power and they see you really connected to God, they don't mind coming.
Yes,
they don't mind following. There you look at 1 Samuel again, 1 Samuel chapter 7 again. Look at verses 3 and 4. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange god, Ashtoreth, from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistine. And then he said in the fourth verse, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. That's how you got to verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
The land that was lost to the Philistine, now we're talking about anointing now, were also restored to Israel during this time. Look at the 14th verse, 7 and 14. And the city which the Philistine had taken from Israel was restored to Israel from Akron unto Gad, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hand of the Philistine, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorite. Now, we're talking about anointing here. That's what an anointing would do.
Yes, sir.
That's what, see, anointing bring deliverance to people,
yes,
not just a message.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How good I preach.
Yes, sir.
No, no. They deal with whatever been stolen from you. If you're in a good church, you're supposed to take it back.
Yeah.
Supposed to have a revelation somewhere to come along to give you some insight.
Yes, sir.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
My God. I get stirred with the anointing because the anointing is so powerful. Now that anointing can be imparted to individuals. We saw that. During Samuel's lifetime, he anointed two men to be king of Israel, Saul and David.
Mm-hmm.
Saul and David. Now, there's a difference here. You're going to see it. Saul was anointed with a flash of oil.
Uh-huh.
A flash, F-L-A-S-K. There's an anointing that does not cost anything in our life.
Wow.
It is given for function and ministry, but did not affect Saul's life or character.
Yes, sir.
And you look at first, I like this, 1 Samuel. Look at the 10th chapter. Just walk through this thing. We're talking about the anointing, and let the Holy Spirit breathe on you. Because I tell you, you're going to need an anointing. And you're going to need to know, you know, you can have all the scriptures you want. You're going to need an anointing to deal with these times. This thing here stuck so much together. Read that verse. One, I got it. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it up on his head and kissed him. And said, is it not because the Lord have anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Now, that voice is not only to Samuel, that's to me too.
Yes,
see, you got to know how to take the personalize these things. See, I'm anointed to be a captain over God's inheritance. I mean, don't get mad at me. You can say the same thing with you know, if you don't want to say it. See, oh, he think he anointed. I know. You don't want to think it. David was anointed with a horn of oil. You know why I know? You know why I know I'm anointed? I can't do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's back to Paul. It's grace.
Yes, sir.
It's a gift.
Yes, sir.
It's God.
Yes.
David was anointed with a horn of oil. This anointing poured out of the horn is prophetic in that the anointing could only be poured out after the death of an animal had been taken. You know, that Old Testament, how they were doing that thing. They had to sacrifice. Jesus, I was sacrificed.
Yes,
this gastric referred to the fact that his kingly anointing would not flow until self-life was put to death of the cross. Look at 1 Samuel 16 and 13. We just walked through it. 1 Samuel 16 and 13. We're studying this anointing real strong and needful. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren. 1 Samuel 16:13. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Samuel rolled up and went to Ramah. He got it. He got it. You see that? I see it. Now, Saul was men's choice. David was God's choice. Saul represented the flesh. David represented the spirit realm. You see it? Now, Christ said, even though they both was anointed, only David went on into fullness of Samuel anointed. David became a prophet, priest, and the beloved king of Israel. I love it. Yeah. So we say the anointing can be placed on an individual, and it can be placed upon a group. There, let me talk about my field of operation and my commission. First of all, the church that I pastor, a lot of people wear my anointing. And then in the LTMA, ministers who are close to me, they wearing my anointing.
Yes,
type of anointing that I have.
Yes, sir.
Supposed to be that.
Yes,
you can't sit under somebody like this pastor doing. Dedicated and nothing will happen to you.
Right.
You'll find yourself, when I sit under my spiritual father, I'd find myself moving in the van he'd moved in, not even trying.
Yes,
but that anointing had got a hold of me.
Yes,
that anointing had got a hold of me.
Yes,
sir.
That anointing had got a hold of me.
Yes, sir.
It's still there.
Yes, sir.
See, I followed my father so close, I got the anointing more than everybody else.
Yes,
I'm telling you, it's true.
Yes, true.
Thousands and thousands of men and women went to school.
Yes, sir.
I didn't even go to school.
Yes, sir.
I paid attention.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad I did.
Yes, sir.
So that this anointing can be passed on to a group. Samuel's mantle of anointing was placed upon an entire group of men, and each one of the men who dwelt with him operated under his anointing and prophesied. Look in 1 Samuel 19:20-24. See, he passed it on to a group. It can be passed to an individual. It can be passed to a group.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to just go pick it up from side to road.
Yeah.
See. God will use somebody to pass it on to you. In this school, under the men and women you sitting on in the school, certain things being passed on to you because they all have my anointing.
Yes,
every class you go to,
yes,
self-same anointing.
Yes,
are you following me?
Yes, sir.
1 Samuel 19:20.
Yes, sir.
And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophet prophesying, and Samuel standing at a point over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. It's on them, you see. I say it's on him.
Yes, sir.
And then went he also to Ramah and came to the great well that is in Siku, and he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Nara in Ramah. And he went thither to Nara in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied. You see, he keep getting on people. Until he came to Nara in Ramah, and he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and laid down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Other words, all the whole group that got in that environment, got in that anointing, start prophesying.
Yes,
it got on them.
Yes,
it can get on you.
Yes,
God,
yes,
I've seen it over and over again. They kept prophesying.
Yes.
Everybody they talked to, he walked off prophesying. Something got on him.
Got on.
See, it's still available today.
Yes, sir.
I call it plumb stupid. People who finished this school and got a chance to come back and sit, right. Yeah. They don't come. They wasn't serious at the beginning. What?
Yeah.
It's study getting on them.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Let me close.
Wow.
I mean, if I stay in a certain spot the other night, it'll get on you. My brother said, you got to know when you're carrying something. You know, I got a 5-gallon bucket in my hand full of water, and I'm carrying it. I know it's got, I got something carrying. In anointing, you know when you're carrying something.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
The mantle of prophecy, listen to this, Melvin, came upon everyone who came near Samuel anointed. You just read it.
Yes,
oh boy, I got so much, he got naked.
Yeah.
His anointing covered and protected David from the murderous spirit of Saul and his men.
Yeah.
He had Samuel anointing on him.
Yes,
the prophetic mantle on Samuel provided the spiritual covering and protection for David.
Yeah.
That's Paul, you heard that? Yeah, ooh, hallelujah, that's right. The prophetic mantle on Samuel provided the spiritual covering and protection for David where Saul couldn't get to him.
Wow.
Don't tell me the anointing is not important.
Right.
I got to find a jumping off place. Let me give you one more here. It's so good. The mantle of Samuel anointing. Let me tell you 3 or 4 things under that. Subdued the power of the murderous spirit in Saul. It was anointing keeping David.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Secondly, it exposed the power of satanic activity in Saul. God, in his mercy, gave Saul a victory over the devil, but he refused to maintain and walk in humility before God. Mm-hmm. God had quickened him the gift within Saul. He enlarged his spirit to contain more of God. God, in his mercy, gave Saul a victory over the devil, but he refused to maintain and walk in humility before God. So jealousy and murder prevailed over him. Listen to this, Claire. Let me close here. God anointing him could have broken a yoke on his neck, but he did not allow God to change his life, his character, or his leadership. Let me tag this so I know where I'm at. I'm at next week. I forget. I teach so many classes. I'll be all of them. Where we going? Next week? Maryland. Yeah, that's a long trip, dude. I'll be up there and I'll come back and teach you. Teach Word of Life. They're waiting. I send my sons out every now and then, but they say, where pastor? Where the pastor at? They don't say it out loud, you know. That's just like children, you know. All right, class, keep up with the class now because we're covering a lot of stuff. And I'm not giving any assignment or nothing, you know. But you keep up with the class. I mainly want to teach you and get you some of this stuff in you. And while you're learning, I'm learning. I'm in the process of learning myself some things. But I'm trying to stick with the lesson. I got the first 10 chapters of that book in here, and I don't know how far we're going to get. But amen. Y'all have a good evening. Yeah.